Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, Marvel has released the first clip from Endgame. MCU stars have been confirmed for their Disney Plus series, and so much talk of your feedback and our theories and your theories and everyone's theories swirling around Endgame. This is so much Endgame talk.
Ow!
All that right after this. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Jeffrey Beauregard Randall. How you doing, buddy?
Beauregard or freaking. I was going to go with freaking, but my God, I am so excited, sir.
Freaking out. Jeffrey freaking out.
That's my middle name now.
Such a bad middle name.
I'm changing it. I'm going down to the courthouse right now.
James Bond or whatever. Danger is my middle name. And you're like, freaking out is my middle
freaking
name.
Freaking out is my middle name.
That seems...
That's not good. That's not positive.
Emotionally unstable of you.
Okay. You should get that looked at.
Let's dive right in. First thing first, new Avengers clip. If you haven't seen it, go. It's everywhere on the internet. Search for, we'll try to put clip. I think we did tag it somewhere in our Facebook or Twitter. But
during the panic,
it's the wonderful scene. It's kind of like a strategy session / discussion of what's going on in Endgame. It's our first example. So a couple of big takeaways. I love how everyone's interacting. Captain Marvel seems to fit in perfectly. There's this like weird combination of motivation and just utter depression going on.
And all of it feels so real and palpable.
Yeah, for sure. The biggest thing I noticed that was interesting is they say he used the stones again.
Yeah, that was the first thing that was said.
Yeah.
Widow said that he used the stones again. And she was looking in disbelief at something, some sort of hologram model.
Yeah, so we don't know what's going on there. We don't know how long it's been. It's obviously been long enough for Captain Marvel to show up, and that's obviously been long enough for them to like do the whole battery thing. So we're thinking days to weeks since the first snap, and now they're getting some sort of alert that he's used the stones again, but we don't know how they're getting that. We don't know anything about this crazy pseudoscience, but that was really interesting to me. He is out there and they are tracking him, you know?
Yep. In some way.
Yeah. That's crazy to me. That's a big deal. And then it was some of the stuff we'd already seen with, Thor interacting with Captain Marvel. That was great. And of course, probably the best moment of the trailer was let's go get that son of a bitch.
Oh, you mean the thing that Robert Vogel tweeted at us about, said at MCUcast, OMG, the release scene from this morning. Language!
Ice
and
cream.
And then four crying laughing emojis. Yeah, it's no longer language, it's ice cream on this podcast.
Yeah. No, ice cream's a response to language.
Ah, my bad.
Yeah, that was, if you weren't here, we discussed that last week.
yeah, where Matt's giving children diabetes.
Yeah, exactly. We got some feedback on that, too. We'll get to that in a little while. Sorry. I gave myself diabetes for years, and now it's her turn.
Oh, wow.
That was a real supervillain thing to say.
That was like one of the worst supervillains that I've ever heard written. But it's like that comic book that dentists would use to try to get kids to brush their teeth. It's like, ah, oh, the candy fiend, like the candy man's coming. Oh, he's gonna give you candy, but he's trying to rot your teeth.
Oh, yeah, except it's like diabetes. It feels much darker having a children's
it's like comic. Oh. He wants you to have to stab yourself in the gut with a needle every day.
Oh,
like, what?
Man, this really got dark too quickly.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know, after Infinity War, everything's just dark.
Everything's darkness. Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Absolutely. We got another tweet from a listener. Orly Baldadara said, at MCUcast, still waiting for your reaction on the new hashtag Avengers Endgame official clip. I'm so lucky to have found you, fellow MCU Avengers mate, MCU head, whatever they call us. Hello from Dubai.
Wow, from Dubai. That's amazing. Thanks for writing in, Orly. Thanks for checking us out. We, by the way, we have gotten tons of feedback saying you're new listeners. If you are new listeners, thank you for coming and hanging out with us. We talk about everything Marvel here, and it is super rad to have so many new people checking us out. Like, we always, leading up to Endgame, we expected to get a lot of feedback. I wasn't expecting this many new listeners so soon, and the numbers have been great, but also just tons of feedback saying first time new listener, first time writing, here you go. And it's just exciting. It's adding to the conversation a ton, and that's awesome. So thank you everybody for joining us. Welcome. We hope you like the show and stick around, because we're here all the time, not just around Endgame. We're here all the time.
And to the old listeners, we still love you too. Welcome back.
Yeah, your new.
Let's
brothers
be nice.
We love you all equally.
right. Let's be nice as we incorporate them into the fold.
Okay, so we had a few other newsy things happen that I guess we had confirmation on some things that we kind of heard about in the past.
Yeah, there had been talk of, you know, there being a Loki series being developed for Disney Plus, and, you know, everybody's like, oh, yeah, this is probably going to be Tom Hiddleston. And, you know, there was speculation and discussion and, like, nothing absolutely confirmed, but it has finally been confirmed by Disney that Tom Hiddleston will be starring as Loki in a Loki series for Disney Plus.
Yeah, this is insane.
It's crazy.
And it's not just Loki. Let's just go ahead and say.
Yeah, it's not just Loki.
Loki's been confirmed as Tom Hiddleston, with Tom Hiddleston as Loki. And yep. Then we've got
Wanda and Vision.
And they're calling it WandaVision, is that correct?
WandaVision, yeah. It's the Scarlet Witch and Vision series starring Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany.
That is mind-blowing. I mean, this is the same kind of news we got for The Defenders a few years ago, where, hey, yep. You know, you got four new series coming to a streaming service, but instead of it being, you know, no-named actors, this is the team. Like, this is the main A-team for the Avengers.
This is the MCU, like, the actors, the people. And these aren't the only ones. There's another couple of series. There's gonna be a Hawkeye series.
That's amazing.
Starring Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
And not just that, but it was also announced that Hawkeye series is going to be about Clint Barton, Jeremy Renner, training a replacement for himself in Kate Bishop. Training his replacement so that she can take over the role of Hawkeye.
Man, that is so big. So cool. Some of these things, while I'm excited about all of them, they are kind of giving us some of in-game spoilers here. I mean, these could all be lies. Like, I would not be shocked if one or multiple of these series, it just ends up, oh no, that character actually died in the movie.
One more, sir, though we're not done.
Keep going.
There's going to be a Falcon and Winter Soldier series starring Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan.
Yeah, that's insane. And those two have great chemistry.
Yeah, they do. I want that to be like a bitter buddy cop drama or even comedy. I'm okay with comedy from those two. I want that to be like a buddy cop thing where they're trying to figure out who's going to take on the mantle of Captain America after he obviously dies in Infinity War.
No, it doesn't even need to be like a buddy cop thing. It needs to be like a reality TV.
Oh, God, yes.
Reality TV contest where they try to figure out who's going to be the next Captain America.
No, Matt, this is our chance.
Captain, America's next top captain.
This is our chance to have the reality series like The Office, but from the inside of Avengers compound.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Have like Sebastian Stan just be like, he never moves his seat up. Just like staring at the camera, he never moves his seat up. He's so rude.
I actually think that sounds like a great idea. Like, I would watch a show that's those two not even fighting, but just hanging out in Avengers compound, like, picking on each other in, like, Dwight and Jim fashion.
Yes! My God, that would be so good.
That would be so good. And they've also, I don't know if this was this week, but they've also officially announced the What If series, which is animated? Is that what we're hearing?
It's going to be an animated series based on the Marvel What If stories. And they revealed that the first one is going to be a story of what if Peggy Carter was given the super soldier serum instead of Steve Rogers. And what is, you know, it, part of that is Steve Rogers gets a an armor suit from Howard Stark.
Yeah, I honestly could take or leave him getting the armor suit. I'm just excited about a Peggy Carter story where she's just straight up the superhero.
The super soldier.
That's so cool.
I'm all about that.
And so Disney Plus was announced when it's coming out, right?
It is dropping. Like, the service is going live November 12th, and it is going to be $6.99 per month.
Wow, that's actually cheaper than I was expecting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to really put a dent in the Netflix numbers. Also, when that debuts, Captain Marvel, the film Captain Marvel, is going to debut on the series when it launches. Or, I'm sorry, on the service when it launches. It's going to go straight past Netflix, not even going to stop. It's not going to collect $200.
Yeah.
Just going straight to Disney Plus.
That's cool. And I don't know, man. I'm excited. I think that's totally a good deal. I absolutely will pay $6.99 a month for all these series, you know?
Absolutely. Yes.
It reminds me of, you know, I pay for HBO right now. It's $15 a month.
And you're only watching Game of Thrones.
Oh, no, I watch a lot of things on HBO, no, actually.
Just go with it. Just accept it.
But no, I will not. I love Barry, man. Barry is so good. Bill Hader as a assassin who wants to be a actor. That's a really good show.
Okay.
And Last Week Tonight, like that show a lot.
Oh, yeah. John Oliver is really funny.
Yeah. There's a few really good things on HBO, but honestly, nothing that I want to see as much as I want to see these series, and this is less than half the price. Super awesome. I was expecting to go closer to the same as HBO. Okay, do we want to dive into? We got lots and lots and lots of feedback. By the way, we love you all. We really do. It means so much when all of you write in. But we are getting massive amounts of feedback lately, and we love it. But if you try to keep some of your feedbacks brief, we might be able to get to them quicker. Because some of the longer feedbacks we're having to put at the end just so we can get to more people. And basically, if you put your feedback in and it's somewhat brief, I'm not talking like a sentence, but, you know, a paragraph or around there, it helps us get to more people. And honestly, it'll help us get to you, because we've got a few people who wrote in like multi-page feedbacks today, and we had to put them at the bottom of the list, and we're like, if we get to them, because we just can't read everybody's multi-page feedback. I think normally it's more cool, and I love like some really detailed feedback. Sometimes they come into really cool things, but we just have so much going on right now with Endgame that we're just not going to be able to get to everything. Our policy up till now has been we try to read every piece of feedback that comes in. We miss something, falls to the crack here and there, but we try to read everything. If feedback keeps growing, we may have to kind of like switch to a more like curated model of the feedback we read, but it'll help to get. I like getting to everything because I like having everybody involved in the conversation. So
that may not be possible upcoming, though.
Yeah, it really may not be possible if the audience keeps growing the way it is. And honestly, with Endgame, I think we're gonna have a lot of new listeners that generally, when these big movies come out, we maintain a pretty good percentage of those new listeners. Yeah. And yeah, then we get a lot more feedback, and it's awesome. I freaking love it. It's so exciting. But I just wanted everybody to know, we are more likely to get your feedback basically if it is shorter. Because
if you recall last year when Infinity War came out, we had three separate, very long feedback episodes that were separate from our original like knee-jerk response episode.
I want to do that again. I think we're going to end up doing that again.
We're absolutely going to have to do that again. Just we get so much of it around these tentpole movies.
Right.
And this one is going to be no different because, I mean, Endgame has already outsold, you know, in its first 7 days of being available for ticket sales, it's already outsold the pre-sales of Infinity War 5 times over.
That's so insane.
It's crazy.
So insane. So anyway, we're going to dive into some feedback. We're going to get to as many as we can today. We may have to get some next week. Please send in your feedback. But I guess the big thing is try to condense it down to the major points you want to make, because we are more likely to get it that way. and more likely to be able to spend more time on it. And I mean, and I think too, like, people tend to enjoy when, you know, we have a chance to talk about the feedback. Some of those really long ones, we read them and then we just can't. Like, there's just too many thoughts in there and we're like, let's pick one thing in there to talk about or two, you know.
Or we have to break the email down piece by piece.
Yeah. So, you know, just trying to keep things. So that's just a little housekeeping. If you want to get your feedback on the show over the next couple weeks, you keep it short and sweet. It will be more likely to be able to make it on because we are so we're like at right now. I'm looking at a page with like 28 pages of feedback that we have currently. Like that's so much feedback. So we're going to get to as many as we can. So let's just dive in. Let's stop talking about it and dive in. Yeah.
Oh, and Kinder hit us up on Twitter, said at MCUcast. Quick question. What do you think the ending of Endgame will be like? Sad? Happy? I'm just going to start throwing out emotions.
Okay, yeah, throw out all the emotions. Do it.
Literally every emotion is going to happen at the end of Endgame. It's going to be satisfying. It's going to be kind of sad to probably have to pass the torch from the original six. We're going to be hopeful about the future. We're going to feel relief in some way, probably. You're going to have to pee, more than likely, because it's a long movie.
I think first thing I would say, it's going to be happier than in Infinity War.
Yeah, it couldn't be much sadder.
No, it couldn't be. And I think that one ended on such a down note so that this one's going to feel all the sweeter.
Right. It's taken the dive so that this one can shine.
As for plot elements, if that's what you're asking.
No freaking clue.
No clue. I do think we'll lose someone. Because I don't think this movie is going to shove the stakes if we don't. I think we will probably lose one, if not multiple, of the original six. Of the original six, who we lose in, Jeff? Make your calls. Let's do it. Let's. What are we going to bet on it? Let's bet something, and then let's make our calls.
If I win, you have to say that Jeff is an amazing podcaster / genius.
Okay. Sounds good.
That was from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
No. I think that was sounds fine. And if I win,
yeah, sure.
You give me $1,000.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I think that's a fair trade. I'm just kidding. So make your calls. Who do you think is going to who do you think is going to bite it?
I am about 99.999% certain that Captain America Steve Rogers is going to, if not die, then not stay on this timeline.
Yeah, I don't know if it's feedback that we have in this feedback cluster or not, but we did have someone write in that said had a really clever idea that if this movie involves time travel, what if Captain America gets to go back and live out his days with Peggy Carter somehow?
Oh, like, my God.
And what if she knew that all along when she, you know, saying her goodbyes and stuff?
God.
Yeah, that would be the best way for his story to end, I think.
That feedback is the one that, like, that made me, you know, spark that idea and kind of just get right on board with that. That was a good idea.
I like it. I think I agree with you. I think we're 99% losing Cap. I think we are like 70% losing Iron
Stark.
Man. Yeah.
Yep.
Or Stark. Yeah. I think we're very likely losing Stark. I don't think we're losing Thor. I don't think we're losing Black Widow. And I don't think we're losing Hawkeye. Mostly because we have announcements about their movies. We don't have a new Thor movie, but I think he's just having too much fun. I don't think Hemsworth is looking to stop working out, which seems to be the main motivation behind Chris Evans wanting to walk away. have you heard him in interviews talk about?
Yeah,
he's like, hey, it's a lot of work, and it just seems like he's like, this isn't the kind of guy I am. Like, I'm a pretty fit guy, but I'm normally Human Torch fit. I'm not normally Captain America fit. I just want to go back to being Human Torch fit.
Right. I'm ready to just be the dad bod hot guy. Like, can I go back to that? Go to that?
Dad bod is overstating it, I think. I think he just doesn't want to have, like, huge amounts of muscle that takes him eating. I think he's being tortured every day by eating chicken breast constantly. And he's like, man, how amazing would it be to live a normal life again? And I think Downey has somehow worked out, because he's Iron Man, he's worked out the fact that, like, he doesn't have to do that. He just has to stay in Iron Man shape, which is pretty easy. But I think Chris Hemsworth's not in a rush to get out of here. And I think they've just found the voice of Thor over the last couple movies.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially in Ragnarok, when he was allowed to have a little bit more fun. I think that change to the character has really, like, kind of revitalized him as far as his dedication to the role.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. So, as for the first six, I think that's my call, anyway. Now, Hulk. Hulk is the X factor here. What do you think about Hulk? I don't know how to read it. I've definitely heard things in the past about, it seems like a Ruffalo thinks of these movies as kinds of, like, kids' fun. But, well, listening to him on this junket, he seems to have really embraced the good mood he seemed to be in over these junkets I've been watching. It seems like he's one of two things. Either he's embraced his role as Hulk and he really likes what he's doing now and understands that these movies do have a little more depth and he's, like, into it, or he's done with it and he knows it. Like, he's just been in such a good mood compared to previous junkets I've seen him in.
Yeah, yeah. I like to think that he has really embraced it, because the movies have stepped up their game as far as how freaking good they are.
The substance has been a lot higher Infinity War. I mean, ever since, I think, the Russos joined the fold, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Russos brought in, with Winter Soldier, they brought in a more adult style movie, and then Civil War, they did it again, and then obviously Infinity War was one of the darkest things we've ever seen. It's just they've brought a new level and a new seriousness to these movies, and maybe he's embracing that, or who knows, maybe he just really loved being in Ragnarok and, like, he's looking forward to playing that sort of comedy.
Can I have
again.
More fun?
Yeah, who doesn't want to have more fun?
Right,
I do think that we're probably losing Stark, and we're almost definitely losing Cap. That's my thoughts.
Yeah. The thing surrounding Hulk that's the most difficult to kind of deal with is that there's so many parts of the Hulk mythos that just have not been addressed at all because of the Universal deal,
right?
And, like, not being able to do the She-Hulk, and, you know, not being able to go down the recurring abomination or the leader villain route.
Right. There's definitely a lot more
Ross,
to do.
Like, ugh.
There's definitely a lot more that we want them to do. But I don't think Hulk is dying. I wouldn't be surprised if we lost Ruffalo at some point and they had to recast. They've already done once.
They're okay with doing that.
They seem okay with it. And they did a good job last time. I think it'd be harder. There wasn't a lot of love for Edward Norton, so I think it'd be harder to recast Ruffalo because he's been so beloved in that role. Anyway, I think that's pretty good. So that's how we think it'll end. From that perspective, I guess. The big question in my mind, and one of the biggest criticisms of the MCU in general, is that they tend to not focus on the story they're telling because they're trying to set up the next thing. I don't agree with that criticism. I think it's mostly bullshit. But the big question for me is, how will they balance that? Because if they really end this movie and it just feels like an ending, then how drawn are we to go seeing the next Marvel thing? And they're going to have to do something to tease the next era. And I don't know how much they're going to focus on that. Will it be a post-credit sequence, or will it be a, like, plot line in the movie? I'm hoping it'll be the prior. I'm hoping that it will be a small nod to something coming in the future.
What I think is very likely to happen is that there's going to be a time jump in Infinity War, where we see like the next generation kind of coming up, and they get brought up the wrong way because the bad things happened. So, you know, they go back in time, they fix everything, and then there's a determination at the end of it to bring the next generation of heroes up the right way and to train them properly.
Like you see Scott picking up a young stature and like learning, starting to train her, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, in the Ant-Man and the Wasp movie, she specifically said, like, you know, you need a partner, you need somebody watching your back. And she was like, I was talking about me, but I guess you can go talk to Hope. Like, so cute. So absolutely cute. The most adorable child ever. But, you know, she's going to be growing up. Not just figuratively either.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, I think that there's going to be a big push to train the new generation. If we don't see them founding like an Avengers Academy or, you know, starting a program and something like that, then there's at least going to be the determination at the end of like, you know, we really need to get the kids aligned and aimed.
Yeah. Learn to aim the future generation so that this doesn't happen again.
Right.
So I think that's possible. What do they have time for? I keep thinking, and then I'm like, yeah, it's 3 hours long. They got time for a lot.
They got time for so much movie. There's so much movie in this. Yep.
I'm so excited. All right, let's get to the next feedback.
All right, so next up, Joe Slavich sent us an email and said, hey, guys, I imagine you've been getting many new listeners over the past week, and I will claim myself as one. Hello, Joe.
Welcome, Joe.
I love the podcast, and I appreciate your approach to celebrating the MCU. I have two thoughts that I wanted to pass your way and get some feedback on. Firstly, in every Avengers movie, we've been introduced to integral new characters that have played a large role in the universe going forward. Often these new characters are introduced by surprise, like Scarlet Witch, Vision, etc. Ever since the conclusion of Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I've been waiting for the arrival of Adam Warlock, given that Marvel planted that seed years ago. Do you think that Endgame could have a twist that introduces this character?
I can go ahead and dive into that if you want. I don't think so, personally.
Yeah, I don't think that Adam Warlock is the way to go right now. With this movie, they're finalizing, they're finishing up, they're closing off, they're, you know, wrapping up in a nice little package all of the stories over the past 10 years. Like, they're finishing the major story of the original six, is my opinion. I don't think that they're gonna give the win to somebody else just kind of out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's true. And also, I'm fairly certain that is a James Gunn passion, introducing Adam Warlock.
Yeah.
And I think that the post-credit sequence to Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was alluding to the fact that he will be coming. And that he's hanging out in a cocoon somewhere with those golden folks, waiting on Guardians of the Galaxy 3, waiting on Disney to rehire James Gunn so that they can finish Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I think that's what I think is going to happen.
He's like, can't come out yet. James Gunn hasn't been rehired.
Please, someone Photoshop that. Just like
come
Adam
on,
Warlock's
Adam,
cocoon.
Come on out.
Adam Warlock cocoon with like a. He's put his hand on the glass and it says, not my director.
Oh, man.
Like a Not Penny's Boat. Anybody? Lost fans? Okay, what else does
secondly,
Joe have to say?
Secondly, viewers aptly noticed that Captain Marvel's cloak colors were dangling from the Black Dwarf's belt in Infinity War. This obviously did not come up during Captain Marvel, as many were hoping. Is this something that will be included in the Captain Marvel sequel? If so, props to Marvel for planting these seeds way early. Thanks again.
Ooh, good call. It definitely could be in the sequel. There's a lot of story of Captain Marvel left untold because she's been out there flying around in the galaxy for 20 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Is it 30 years? 25?
It's 20. It's closer to 20, 25.
Yeah.
And like she said in that clip, you know, there's a lot of planets out there that don't have the Avengers, you know?
Yeah.
They need defending too.
But what does it mean that he has her colors franging through his sash? Is he like, Does he think he killed her at some point? Was he an ally of hers at some point? Like, it just, yeah, really don't know what that means. If it means anything, or if that is just another sash from another being.
Yeah, I remember there being something about that came up right after Infinity War, where either Feige or the directors addressed it and said, you know, it's not what you think. It's, you know, it's not really anything. But I mean, they lied to us before.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, could go anywhere.
Could be.
Let's see. Next up, Glenn Kessler said to us in an email, really enjoyed last week's episode. Hope I'm not too late with my crazy fan theories.
Never too late. Never too late for a crazy fan theory.
Said, okay, so you know how we're all so upset at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for not acknowledging the Snapshot during last season's final episodes? Well, what if they did? I think most of us assume that in Endgame, the surviving Avengers will somehow reverse the loss of half the universe. If this happens through some sort of time travel, where they get to fight the Battle of Wakanda over again, then Thanos would be stopped and the Snapshot would not occur. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would therefore be seen as telling of the timeline after Endgame, once things are fixed, rather than when they're broken. Doing this is much smarter and avoids obsolete Agents episodes. The Snapshot will have only occurred in the memories of the surviving Avengers, most of which we expect to die. It's much simpler to choose the fixed timelines for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and equally as gut-wrenching, knowing that our heroes for the last 10 years may all be gone, having carried a burden of loss that no one other than them will know. Ah, the joys of time travel.
Yeah, I think you are probably correct, Glenn, that they're telling the story, you know, post the fixing of the timeline. The more and more I think about this movie, the less and less I'm sure it's time travel. It's got to be, right? It's got to be time travel. I keep wondering if time travel has just been a crazy red herring all this time.
Hard to say.
What if time travel is just a bigger version of Hulk running through Wakanda? You know, like, God, what, man, if time travel, all the stuff, what if the mentioning of time vortexes in Ant-Man, like, all that stuff is just a misdirect, and we're just moving forward to the timeline, and they're going to go fix it. If that happens, then that will be a problem for not only Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but probably for Cloak and Dagger as well, and all of the Netflix series, because they will have to mention it after that. It'll be weird. I don't know. It's weird, man. It's weird.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, if it's not time travel and they don't go and fix it before it happens, you kind of blow up our understanding of this, it's all connected universe, even if it is all like tenuously threaded together, where, you know, we kind of have to bake in our own connections.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say that Ty and Tandy on Cloak and Dagger did not mention the fact that everyone disappeared a year ago, right, or whatever. Like,
right?
That's kind of hard to swallow. And similarly, on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's hard to swallow that, you know, they wouldn't mention when May comes back, they're not all like, well, I'm glad you're back, May. Everyone disappeared. I don't know, man.
I'm glad you're back, May, because we don't have a pilot anymore. He turned to ash in the cockpit somehow.
Yeah. Man, that would have been such a good ending to that show, though.
Wouldn't it? Damn,
yeah,
it.
Damn, it would have been such a great ending to last season if everyone could go, just dusted.
Let's see. Glenn continues saying, all right, so now theory number two. We already saw that Infinity Stones can be destroyed, Scarlet Witch destroying the Mind Stone. So what if the Avengers Endgame is to destroy all of the Infinity Stones? Could the blast from such a powerful explosion of energy cascade around the world? We never saw what the ramifications of the Mind Stone exploding would be because Thanos put it back together too fast. But if an explosion of basically a Tesseract battery can create Captain Marvel, what could the destruction of all six do across Earth? Mutants, perhaps? Fantastic Four? Perhaps, you know, insert Dr. Evil pinky to mouth move? Thanks again for all the great podcasts. Excelsior!
I think it could create the mutants. It could create the Fantastic Four. I doubt it will create Dr. Evil.
No, I think that was stage cue.
Yeah, it was a stage cue. I just thought it was funny. Just trying to make a joke. Woo!
Terrible joke.
I don't know. That's an interesting idea. I'm really interested to see how they're gonna bring in the X-Men. Like, I am totally confused by the idea. Like, what are they gonna do?
Like, how do you do that?
Yeah, totally confused. I don't know the smart way to do it. I don't know how to do it well without, you know, weird ramifications for either the X-Men or the universe that they'd be joining, you know?
Yeah.
I guess we'll see.
What if blowing up the Infinity Stones just creates a hole in space where it's a hole between dimensions?
Yeah.
Or,
I mean, it's possible.
A hole between universes.
I don't love the idea of the incursion. Like, sure, incursion, if eventually they come together in our one universe. The idea with the incursion, though, is like, if someone comes over from another universe, that's just a one-time thing, or it becomes like a thing where they're traveling back and forth. Then you got this whole like weird sort of like, okay, we've got two universes interacting all the time, but they're not really together. So then they're just together when it's convenient for the plot for them to be together, and not when it's not. Like, I'd rather them all just live in the same universe.
Yeah, I would too.
I don't really want to have like an Infinity War style, like an Infinity Stone explode every time I want Captain America and Wolverine to interact, you know?
It's like, we only get six of these guys.
Yeah, exactly.
We gotta make them count. let's see. Joseph Dremel said to us in an email, "What's up, guys? Love the podcast."
Thank you, Joseph.
In the second trailer, the female voice after Tony Stark is elderly Peggy Carter in a scene from Captain America Winter Soldier. Steve Rogers is sitting at her bedside when she says the lines we hear in the trailer. Love the podcast. Can't wait for Endgame. # whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Wakanda forever.
All right, so Dustin Kaufman sent us an email. Hey guys, Dustin here. So first things first, in the beginning, Banner said, so if we're going in, does he mean into the quantum realm or to space to go fight Thanos, as shown closer to the end? Second, since when has Hawkeye had all those tattoos? Do you think they showed that to kind of hint to the dark past few weeks or months or years he's gone through? Also, love how it at least looks like Tony and Cap are getting along again. Another thing, do you think all this footage is still from the first 15 minutes? Because that would be surprising that they would fight Thanos that close to the beginning. Lastly, in the last part of the trailer, where is their nice white matching suits? Anyway, thanks for the great podcast. Until next time.
All right, a lot in there.
A lot.
So, I have no idea what they're going into. It seems like they're just talking about going after Thanos. It seems like, to me, what's going to happen, after watching this clip multiple times, is this clip is the beginning of the movie, very close to it. And they somehow track... Maybe they use Captain Marvel technology, I don't know. But somehow they track what he's doing with the stones. He's out in the universe doing something. And then Captain Marvel is like, we got to go take care of him. They go to try to take care of him, and they fail again. That's my best theory right now. So maybe that shot of them walking up on him in that one moment is, before... is part of the first 15 minutes. Like, I think they're going to have multiple battles. I think they might have a Thanos battle and then lose, and then we have the time jump, and then we have the, you know, time travel storyline. But I don't know.
Oh, man, the answer is so hard to say. It's so crazy that we are 2 weeks away from this movie coming out, and we still know jack shit about how it's going to go.
I love it. I love it so much that they've done such a good job of keeping everything a secret. Hawkeye's tattoos.
We've seen his arms, and he did not have those tattoos.
So, yeah, I think it's a hint at the darkness of the... And they look like they've been there a while. They're not brand new. So, it looks like that is after the time jump, I guess?
Probably. It's certainly... after he obviously loses his entire freaking family.
Probably. He probably loses his entire family, and it's going to be real dark and real sad. It's possible he only loses two of them. Maybe he loses two and then, you know, keeps working with his daughter sitting there teaching her to shoot the arrows.
Nope.
It does look like Cap and them are getting along. I have no idea why they're going to fight Thanos without their magic suits. That's my best. My best thing is I think they're going to fight him once at the beginning. They're going to lose, and then they're going to have to go back and maybe not even fight Thanos again, but do something with time travel. That's my best guess.
Yeah. Now those nice matching suits were, if you notice at the end, in those matching suits when they had all those red and white matching suits, that Scott Lang was there and Nebula was there, and you know, the whole freaking team was there. Like, everybody who was left is there, plus Tony. And the clip that they showed doesn't have, like, it doesn't have Nebula, doesn't have Scott, doesn't have Tony. So that's gonna be an early movie thing, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they're gonna go after him. They're not gonna win, and then they're gonna have to. The whole movie is gonna be about getting together the resources and people they need to finish this fight.
Yep.
Or do something so that the fight never happens.
Yep. Oh man, you couldn't live with your own failure. Where did that lead you?
Back to me.
Back to me. Oh God. Josh Brolin, you're so amazing. I'm okay. So moving on, Adara Glader said to us on an email, "I was wondering about Ant-Man. His size-changing abilities come from Pym particles, which Scott Lang did not invent and does not know how to make. Even if he had the formula, creating Pym particles requires years of knowledge and a few PhDs. He could ask Bruce to make them, but that's also not Bruce's area of expertise, and either Bruce or Scott can mess the particles up, causing problems. Tony probably wouldn't have time between food, medical attention, and fixing his suit. Also, in the latest teaser, Scott is not on the spaceship, so he might have run out of particles or have some issue. Last I checked, Pym particles can only be used a few times. Even if Scott manages to get to Thanos has the Reality Stone. Even though the stone only affects your perception of reality, it would be very difficult for Scott to fight or do anything when he perceives the world the way he would when he was large, when he's small, and vice versa. Thoughts? I really like your podcast, and hope you keep going for a long time."
Thanks, Adara. Appreciate that. So I don't think it's good. They've never really discussed in the movies that using the suit expends Pym particles. Like, I think that might be the way it is in the comic books, but in the movies, I think as long as he has that suit, then we're not going to question it. It's going to be like, all right, well, that suit is just what makes him smaller. So I don't think we're going to have much of an issue with that. Too bad.
Yeah, they never really touch on it, so it's still kind of like up in the air. Pseudoscience, like, sure.
Also, does the Reality Stone only affect your perception of reality?
From what I understand, it only affects reality while it's in the proximity. Okay. And
I thought it affected the reality, though. Like, it actually does the things that it does. She's saying it only affects the perception. I don't know. It seemed like in the movie that it actually changes things. I mean, it fused the Hulkbuster into that rock, you know? It seems to have done some actual things.
Well, that one actually was blue. Like, that effect was blue.
Oh, which is the space stone?
Okay. Space stone.
Man, I'm not real up on the stones. which I want to be. I really want to pay attention so I see when it glows, what color, what he's actually using. I love that kind of stuff. I love that the Thanos sort of has these interesting limitations, and not necessarily limitations, but I don't know. Rules around what's going on. I think
it's
really cool.
There being rules to it is kind of the really interesting thing. Like, he can only use the gauntlet in certain ways, probably. Or, you know, he in the fight on Titan, he was activating each stone one at a time and wasn't really combining effects. And so it's up to him to kind of, like, how can he switch the powers out really quickly, or, you know, utilize them in quick sequence to do the things that he wants to do.
And of course, it seems the snap used all of them, and it blew out the glove, it looked like, but it seems like he's still using the stone somehow. So,
yeah.
We just don't know. We just don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he snapped, and then he disappeared, with the space stone. So it looks like he can still use them. It's just the gauntlet looks like it got fused to his arm.
Okay. So it's stuck to him. Interesting. Okay.
Now he can't take it off.
Interesting.
Shit.
Okay.
Let's see. Quinn Murphy said in an email, in your previous episode, X-Men Homecoming, you talked a bit about if Iron Man 1 breaks canon with S.H.I.E.L.D. Continuing with canon, what is your favorite canon connection / Easter egg in the MCU? Bonus question, what do you think is the smartest use of canon? A little about me, I'm 20 and live in Utah. I've seen every MCU movie opening night and have multiple MCU tattoos. I've been a listener for about a year now. P.S. The name is Quinn, like Quinn. Hey, I got it right the first time! Yeah!
Yeah. All right, cool.
Go me!
Thanks for writing in, Quinn. Appreciate you. Thanks for listening so long. MCU tattoos sounds awesome. I should probably do that. You want to get MCU tattoos together, Jeff?
Sure.
For the podcast?
Come down to Tampa.
All right. I'll be there. I'll straight up do it. I'll get an MCU tattoo.
Is it going to be paid for with our Patreon money?
I think that Patreon money's... We're trying to use it to improve the show, but I don't know. Maybe having
MCU tattoos would improve the show.
Would improve the show. Yeah, sure, maybe. okay, so.
Favorite canon connection.
My favorite canon connections and my favorite uses of canon are really just character-based. Obviously, I love the little Easter eggs and stuff, but really what matters to me is the fact that the same... Captain America, the same Steve Rogers who said, I could do this all day in that alley in the first Avenger, is the same one that said, I can do this all day to Tony Stark in Civil War. Like, that's probably my favorite canon connection. It's like, it's Easter eggy, it's small, it's a little connection, but it's all about that he's that same character. And that's the kind of stuff that really gets me going, is those, like, really important, the importance of, you enter into a movie like Civil War, and you fully understand it from both people's side. If you had started that movie without the existence of the MCU, you wouldn't know who Tony Stark was, you wouldn't know who Captain America was. It'd be really hard to flesh those characters out, but because they did it the way they did it, that movie's amazing. And so that's the kind of stuff that really gets me going.
Okay. My absolute favorite one, I can think of it immediately right offhand, was the first mention of Wakanda in Age of Ultron with Vibranium.
That was cool.
With Claw, and you know, like right out of the gate, he's got the vibranium. He's dealing arms under the, you know, he's an arms dealer, and then he gets his arm cut off, like completely leaving it open to having his sonic emitter, I think it was what it was called from the comics, having that through line of Wakanda, and then them never actually going to Wakanda was so great.
Huh. I really did love all the stuff with Claw. He's a really fun character, and that's almost the opposite of what I'm talking about, which I love the stuff that connects a character, a pre-existing character.
You were going for character through lines. I was going for Easter eggs.
Yeah, no. And that's what's so cool is that same, because it's the same universe, they can drop something in that isn't there yet. Wakanda doesn't exist in this world yet, but it does... in the background somewhere.
It does.
And that is super cool.
Yeah. It's just Marvel building the world. You know, they flesh out the world, and every time they show us a little bit more of the world, people are just like, give me that. Give me more of that. I want that.
Give me more of that. Next, we got a voicemail.
Hi, this is Connor calling. I've been a longtime listener, but I have not really had any feedback that I decided to share until now. And I figured I might as well get my thoughts out there. The first thing I kind of wanted to touch on was Captain Marvel. I was very concerned, especially with some of the promotional material where they showed that the clip, and it said it's time for her, and then it clipped to a hero, changed the word to hero, I was originally concerned that this movie was just going to pander to social justice warriors, but I was pleasantly surprised that they focused on telling a good superhero movie without completely glossing over those issues. I thought they struck an excellent balance, and I thought it was extremely fun, and I loved the movie. Another thing that I really enjoyed about it was Nick Fury singing Mr. Postman, because I'm a huge fan of the 50s, and I was sort of validated, because I haven't really found anybody else that seems to love that song, and it's one of my favorites. So I was really glad to see that. That's all I have for now. But I may call in again and leave some other feedback. Keep up the good work. I really do enjoy the cast. Have a good day.
Hey, wait a minute, Mr. Postman. That's a great song. It's a great song. Thanks, Connor. Now you got me wanting to learn that song for my shows. I do a lot of oldies in my shows. A lot of 50s and 60s stuff, so that would be fun. That's a good song. And I totally agree. I think that Captain Marvel's promotional materials did not do it justice. It was really well done. And I do think they leaned on the sort of social justice, her turning into hero, which as soon as I saw that, I was like, man, the people who made Wonder Woman have got to be so mad right now. Because that is so, like, he's saying it was bad, but I thought that was like so good. I was like, oh, that was so clever. Do that more. Oh.
Give me that more. That clever thing. I like.
Oh, man. I think they leaned on that in the promotional material because they were trying to capture a different audience that not all Marvel movies have, which is women. They were trying to lean on the same thing that Wonder Woman leaned on, which is we're representing something that hasn't been represented in our universe yet. And we're making this for you now, so come support it. And I don't know, that does seem a little pandery to me, but I don't think the movie was that at all. I think the movie was just a good superhero story.
Yeah, I think that with the promotional material, it was more just to get people in there, just get people in the door. And once they got people in the door, they told the same old amazing stories that they have. I mean, yes, it is a female superhero in the lead being strong and, you know, not having to get her powers from any old man or whatever. But
yeah,
I say or whatever, like that's just like I'm brushing it off. Like,
well, and not only that, it's also directly about her sort of tossing off the sort of control that I can't remember the character's name.
Yon-Rogg.
It's about her throwing off the sort of mental control that he's had over her. He's been diminishing her power
he's been gaslighting her.
Yeah, that's the word. He's gaslighting the F out of her. And she has to learn to get over that and trust in her own ability and let her kind of unleash her power. Like that's the plot of the movie. It's not a social justice warrior movie. Like it's and not saying anything negative about that. That's like I think they're trying to make a point there that I think is well made without being so overwrought. And so,
yeah, they didn't have to beat you over the head with it, the feminism aspect of it, I guess.
Right.
It was well balanced, like you said.
Yeah.
Let's see. Nathaniel Muzzy said to us on Facebook, saw a Marvel ad for a clip that shows what's happened since the snap. I think it's time to go on lockdown. I need no more ads, no more spoilers. I've already bought my tickets. What do you guys think? The movie is pretty much sold out everywhere. Why keep putting out more and more revealing ads? Who needs to be convinced at this point?
Yes, I'm with you, Nathaniel. I am pretty much done. Like, I think that clip that we talked about at the beginning of this episode was probably one clip too far, honestly. I was like, no, why did I watch that? I feel like, because the problem with those clips is when I'm in the movie theater and those clips come on, I kind of zone out because I hit this like, oh, I've seen this scene. And I kind of like turn my brain off for a second instead of, I don't know, the curiosity about what's about to happen carrying me through the entire film. I kind of hate these like, here, watch an entire scene. That's kind of a bummer.
Well, they usually don't put everything that's in the scene in the clip.
That's true. That's true. But then I find myself like kind of turning my brain off, and then I don't have it turned on when I need to see something. I don't like it. That is my
fault. Immediately go into overdrive. I'm like, what's different? What did they change?
All right, maybe I'll try that this time. I'll try to
get excited, Matt.
I'll try, Jeff.
Matthew Ryan Cronin said to us on Facebook, TLDR, all the posts, but what are the chances this is the first actual spoken Avengers Assemble line we get?
What do you think?
I mean, they do have to reassemble them.
That is true. Man, what if we did get our first Avengers Assemble was literally them all assembling? He's like, Cap gets the glove and picks it up and snaps and says, Universe, reassemble. Universe assemble.
No, I had my thought just now was like Captain America's hand inside the gauntlet, like the Thanos-sized gauntlet, the super big gauntlet, and he's straining to contain the power, but like forcing his will on it, and he's like, you know, he's being torn apart as it's going, but tears are streaming down his face, and he's like, Avengers, assemble! And like they all come back together as he disappears.
Okay, yeah. That sounds awful. I don't like that at all. You put a lot more anime on it than I want, but
yeah.
that's very that's a lot Super more, Saiyan.
It's a lot more D&D. You know,
No, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what if they're going to say.
I'm so Avengers scared.
I feel like they kind of addressed the Avengers Assemble of it all because I think the point is.
It's a goofy thing to say that's not really realistic.
Yeah, I think that's the point. And that's what Joss Whedon was trying to playing with. But it's sort of the same thing. I know there's fans out there who want to hear it, but there's a reason it hasn't been said so far is because it's kind of a goofy thing to say. I mean, he's the character to say it. Like, I think they could pull it off because he's Captain America and he is kind of goofy.
And it's his line.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that doesn't... The average listener doesn't know. Like, the average person might not know that. And so we're the balancing act they're constantly trying to do with these movies is serve the fans while not making a regular moviegoer, a guy who just like went to see this movie because it's just the movie that came out today, doesn't care anything about the MCU. You don't want to turn him off and go, Captain America's cheesy. You know, like, you got to find a way to make that happen. And it just being his line doesn't work for that purpose.
Works for me. It's good enough for me.
Yeah, agreed. It's good enough for you, the super fan. It's not good enough for the guy who's buying, you know, buying $50 tickets to the movies and popcorn and stuff just so he can go see it. And then, you know. So I understand the balancing act they're doing. And I'm okay if he never actually says it.
Okay. You can be okay with that. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all okay.
But I mean, it'd be cool. I'm down. Like, you know, I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind.
Let's see. Nathaniel Muzzy said to us on Facebook, I love and trust Marvel/Disney, but can we just discuss for 5 minutes how dumb WandaVision is for a series name?
What?
I think it's great for a television series name. It's WandaVision, you know?
I think it's kind of silly sounding. Like,
I
acknowledge fully that sounds silly, but I also think it reminds me of like old school television show.
Yeah, like 50s style.
Yeah, it like reminds me of I Love Lucy. Like I could see that show being like,
God.
Like Lucy Vision. They could have named that show Lucy Vision and that would have worked.
Oh my God, I need that series now. I need Vision and Wanda in that series, like I Love Lucy, except... It's them. You know, it's a freaking android as Ricky.
But yeah, exactly. Well, exactly. Like I honestly think, and if that's the series we get, is sort of that sort of romance mixed with comedy mixed. I don't know. I could see it. I could see it. I'm withholding judgment. I hear you that it's kind of cheesy. But I'm withholding judgment until we see how that goes, how the show goes.
Until we get more about it. Because we still don't have any details of like what the show's actually about.
Right. And you know, I'm going to watch it regardless. It could very well be
Yeah, yeah, we're going to watch it either way. It could very well be a series that's going between, you know, what happened in Civil War and what's happened in Infinity War, because that was 2 years that they were, you know, just kind of meeting off and on, you know, kind of stealing away to be with each other.
Yeah.
So it could very well be that, and then they're still dead. I'd say it. I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to have to say it that way. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's true. That's,
Rachel Claire,
that's a good point.
Rachel Claire, save me from my, save us from me.
Could be all of these series are just happening in the intermediate times.
Oh, wait, don't hold on.
Help me out here.
Okay.
Wanda and Vision, did they both disappear?
Yes. Well, Vision got the stone taken out of him and immediately went grayscale.
He's done. He's done.
He's done.
Winter Soldier
could be said that he
and
is the
Falcon.
Stone.
Winter Soldier and Falcon
both got dusted.
Both got dusted. Who else do we have series announced for? Loki is dead.
Hockey. What?
Hawkeye is the only
Hawkeye.
One of all of those. Hockey. Loki and Hockey.
Yeah.
Of all of those characters, Hawkeye is the only one we have a series announced who's not currently not in existence in the movies.
But it's only a limited series.
Yeah. No, that's what I mean. Like, what if all of these series, every single one of them takes place wrapping up kind of like an emotional story arc for all the characters in the times since they're not coming back?
Don't do this to me, Matthew.
I like presenting that idea because it gives me like a little bit of hope that maybe we don't know how this movie ends. Like, maybe it does end differently than we think.
Oh, God.
maybe the original six stick around to defend the universe and, like, all the others have to stay gone.
They just at the end, they're like, they have a kind of a behind-the-scenes clip where everybody's just signing new contracts, and that's why the original six are sticking around. Sticking around. God, words are hard, man.
Indeed.
Rachel Claire, save us from me and Matt, actually. She says, "Hi, love the podcast. Long-time listener, first-time feedbacker. Have you guys seen the shipping of Captain Marvel and Valkyrie? I'm 100% pro it."
I don't know. Like, yeah, I have not.
I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that. But,
oh, that's a character that we haven't even talked about. Is that Valkyrie is still around?
Oh yeah. Well, I think we talked about it last week, maybe, that her poster revealed she's not dusted, which is great. And I guess that means she's in the movie, too, because there's a poster of her.
Yep.
So that's bigger news than the fact that she's still around, the fact that she'll be in the movie. As for shipping her and Captain Marvel, sure, is how I feel about it. Like, that's fine. I don't know. I we've just never seen them have any kind of on-screen connection. Like, the one with Thor, like, I think it's sort of... I think the whole shipping people is kind of silly when you don't have really any strong connections. Like, I want... If they're going to try to make characters fall in love, I just want some really good, genuine interactions that make that make sense to me. You know?
Yeah.
And right now, they've never even been on the same planet, or that we know of. I guess maybe Valkyrie and
Captain Marvel is a cosmic character.
Yeah, maybe they've been out there in love somewhere, you know.
What if... No, that's dumb. I just made a dumb in my head. I'm going to keep it.
Yeah, maybe that's why she left the Valkyrie. She left to go be with Captain Marvel.
No. I was going to say, like, what if Captain Marvel was the blonde that saved her?
Yeah.
And that battle was supposed to have happened, like, millennia ago.
Yeah, that doesn't track. But
it doesn't track.
But
she can travel through time, right? According to Samuel L. Jackson.
Wait, who can travel through time?
Captain Marvel.
Why?
I don't know.
Who said that?
Samuel L. Jackson.
We
talked about this before the movie came out.
Oh, Samuel Jackson, not the character of Nick Fury. Okay, yeah, that's probably just not true. unless they're talking about her traveling through time in Infinity War or in Endgame with everyone else. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. Valkyrie, but yes, Valkyrie and Captain Marvel, sure, go for it. Okay, then, as long as they have chemistry on screen, that could be fun.
Yeah, as long as it works. As long as it works. I love this name. We got a Facebook message from Deep Continuity.
Yeah. Deep Hot Wet Continuity.
Whoa.
I Deep Continuity, I don't know if that's a person or... but his profile picture or his banner picture is the Avengers all with their heads replaced by Bill Murray. Wait, isn't that an idea we had like 500 episodes ago? Yes.
Something like that, yeah.
We talked about that. Is this based on our conversation? Deep Continuity, please write in. And is this entire profile a friend of the MCU cast profile that I've never seen? Like, I never clicked on your banner before, but his profile picture is a picture of Bill Murray on his head on all the Avengers body from the first Avengers movie. That's amazing. Thank you, Deep Continuity. I think you created a profile purely to be to write into us, which is amazing.
I am A-okay with this.
Oh, that's great. Okay, I don't know why I never clicked on his profile before. Thanks, Deep Continuity.
Oh, man. So they said, you guys have talked at great length about what Marvel might do after Endgame, and so far my two favorite ideas have been for them to introduce the X-Men or to do Secret Invasion. One of the concerns about them introducing the X-Men is that the mutant hate, quote-unquote, is a part of their core identity, but also has been a bit overdone. And we've already seen something similar in Civil War, so why bother retreading old ground, right? But what if they were to introduce the X-Men and do Secret Invasion simultaneously? If my understanding of Skrulls is correct, they're able to reproduce the powers of the people they mimic, within a limited degree, of course. If the existence of mutants overlaps with the events of Secret Invasion, it would provide a perfect reason for people to be paranoid about mutants. The Skrulls could mimic a few mutants and start using their powers. In doing so, they would not only give those mutants a bad name, but also cause people to question whether we should even accept mutants in our society, because even if the mutants aren't evil, having them around could be considered the equivalent of leaving a loaded weapon out in the open in plain view of a murderer.
I don't know what they're going to do with mutants. I think they're not going to do what we expect. For one thing, I was thinking about the Skrulls and how they've used them so far. The Skrulls in the original continuity are all about infiltrating. They're the bad guys, in a sense. In a lot of the storylines, they are the bad guys infiltrating and replacing our heroes. In Captain Marvel, they decided to use them in a way of expressing... a culture that is being outcast and is looking for a home, and they're refugees. That's a totally different spin. And I think while the mutants, that mutant hate is a big part of their storyline, like what story are they going to try to tell that connects with today's political climate? Because the political climate of the day, the mutants were... at first, analogs for race, and then later in the 90s, there were sort of analogs for homosexuality and other things that were not accepted at the time. And it's not like we're over those issues completely, but what's the most poignant way to use the mutants now? And I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but I have a feeling it's going to be connecting it to current modern struggles that we're facing, because I think they're really trying at Marvel to talk about the issues of today. In interesting and fun ways.
Yeah, in ways that we can accept in our little brains.
Well, that's kind of mean to us.
No, it is. It's mean specifically to us. it's hard to say what they would do as far as, like, you know, how they would modernize it, because they have to modernize it. Like, you know, when Iron Man first came out, Iron Man in the comics was originally like Korean Vietnam War era. Like he was overseas in Asia and, you know, had been captured. But then when the movie came out, he was in, you know, the deserts in the Middle East and was,
right,
you know, captured by forces there. So they have to modernize it to make it more, not just identifiable, like not to identify with the current climate, but to make it more, I guess, to make it more palpable, to draw on those political leanings.
Sure, but here's the thing about Iron Man. Like, if yes, they changed the setting, but that's not what's interesting about the Iron Man story when you're talking about the themes that they're talking about and like what's going on in the background, what is the subtext of that movie? It turns out the terrorists
are us.
Well, no, it's 2008. So we're talking 7 years after 9/11.
Yep.
And, you know, yes, if that movie had come out in 2002, it probably would have been, hey, look at the bad terrorist. But in 2008, after they had some distance on 9/11, they're talking about the military-industrial complex. Like, that's what that movie's about. The real bad guy is Obadiah Stane. You know, it's not the terrorists. The terrorists are just lackeys of Obadiah Stane. Yes, the terrorists are bad. He escapes from the cave, all of that. But the real bad guy is Obadiah Stane. And that's what I'm talking about. Like, what is the story that you want to tell? I don't think that race or LGBTQ rights are the outgroup that we're trying to tell the story of right now. I mean, not that those problems are solved by any means, but they're definitely further along. The conversation has changed in 30 years, you know?
Yeah.
Or 60 years, if you're talking about the original X-Men runs. So, like, who's the out-group right now? Is that the story that's even important right now, is having an out-group? I think we're more in a place now as a society where we're more divided. Like, it's less about one out-group, and it's like everyone is an out-group from someone else. You know, like, everyone is in their little bubbles and things like that. There's all these kinds of interesting things going on right now in our society. And if you're of a certain race, you're less outcast from society and you're more sort of shifted into your bubble where you're accepted. And that's where we have this, like, rural versus cities mentality that's happening in politics. Like, there's all this cool stuff that's going on that we could talk about with these stories, and I don't know how the mutants relate to that, but I have a feeling they'll try to tackle something like that as opposed to just another analog for the rights of an outgroup. I don't know. What do you think?
My thought on it is that the big thing, like, because, you know, it has to be about the political climate, because it always has been with X-Men. The current big thing is nationalism being, you know, the major talking point where everybody is kind of divided. So
right.
The thought that I had just now that was really, like, I feel kind of bad for having had the thought, but okay. it was kind of funny still. It was like, oh, there's a mutant caravan headed for the border. We got to stop them.
Right. Well, the thing is, that's what the Skrulls were.
Yeah.
The Skrulls are the refugees. Like, that's, I mean, and we haven't talked about it much on the show. We don't get political much on the show, but, like, the Skrulls.
Maybe that's why we can't come up with a good story.
The Skrulls are very representative of the refugees coming to our borders, and we could either fight them or help them find a home. You know, like, that's the whole thing. And they don't let the refugees in that movie get off scot-free. The main character that I can't ever remember his name, any of the names from Captain Marvel, too many names and they're too weird. The main Skrull, he says, like, my hands are dirty
too.
Talos, my hands are dirty too. We've all gotten our hands dirty in this war, I don't know. I thought they did a pretty cool job of showing of kind of expressing that political idea of refugees without leaning too far to one side or whatever, or without being too preachy.
It's going to be really difficult to do Secret Invasion now with the Skrulls being painted as you being refugees, because then you get into, like, oh, look, you know, there was a good reason that they were being wiped out by the Kree, because, you know, once they get all their numbers together, they invade places and do bad things. Like,
right.
I knew it all along. Like, you leave that open. You can't do that.
Well, see, I don't think that would be a bad thing, though. I think that sort of, like, nuance is exactly the kind of story I want told, because I think our biggest problem as a, like, nation right now is the lack of nuance. Like, you can't have someone that believes two things of opposing, there's, like, two opposing sides, and if you don't believe everything along both sides, or, like, along one side, then you are immediately ostracized to go to the other side. Like, it's real everyone has their camps. It's real isolated. And I think that like stories with nuance are important right now. And I think telling a story where there's a Skrull, like a bad Skrull that's doing a bad thing. And then maybe you have other Skrulls rising up to help or whatever. Like, I just think there, I think there's room for that story.
Okay. Okay. Maybe.
Because that's the thing. He said we're basically they said they're refugees, but he also said we've done bad things in this war. I think they're refugees from the Kree, but that doesn't mean they can't ever do anything bad or that someone.
Why were the Kree being jerks to them in the first place?
Right. Right. And maybe there was some good reason, and maybe the Kree had just gone too far. Maybe there should have been some rules about their entering their society or whatever. But like, maybe they went too far with it. Maybe there's room for nuance. You know, there's room for nuance in all of these discussions about the MCU. But there's also, I mean, there's room for nuance in all the discussions about our current political climate. But that's the problem. We don't like having those discussions. As soon as if I were to say something right now about nuance in the border discussion, like the real life border discussion, like I would piss off a bunch of listeners, which is one of the reasons we don't talk about politics on this show. Cause I love devil's advocating. Like that's, one of the major things I've learned about myself trying to, explore my own personality and figure out who I am in these last few years. I've been trying to do that. And, one of the things that I've learned is I love to be the devil's advocate. I love when someone throws something out, even if I agree with it, I love challenging it. And so I love to explore the nuance of an idea. I pissed off one of my friends the other day because I was trying to just express the ideas of the opposite side. I don't even agree with them. I was just trying to say, yeah, but that argument that you're making doesn't mean what they're saying is wrong. Like, that's not an argument that would win them over. And I was trying to explain their argument, and he was just like, Matt, you suck. No, I'm just not automatically on your side because we're having a conversation. Like, I like to challenge ideas. I don't know. And that's one of the reasons why I don't like politics, because right now it's so divided, you can't talk nuance. You just can't. Anyway.
Okay. Kyoki Young sent us a message on Facebook. Looks like you may have been right about Hawkeye training Kate Bishop in Endgame. And they linked the Disney announcement of the torch-passing Hawkeye series.
At least that he's going to be passing the torch to Kate Bishop. We don't know that it's going to be an Endgame, though. I think it's going to be on his series. I don't think they're going to clutter up Endgame with another character. Honestly, like, someone asked earlier, and I don't even think I touched on this, someone asked earlier about whether we think they're going to introduce, what new characters they're going to introduce, and I just don't think they're going to introduce any new characters.
Yeah.
I think this movie is going to be focused.
This is it. It's done. No more characters. Just the ones that you've seen. My God, there are so many already. How would you want more and why?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Let's see. Ashley Coffin sent us a message saying, just catching up with the podcast. I think that Thanos shot is definitely after the team goes up to fight him, lose, and then he comes to the Avengers base to fight them. I think that is the Outriders Hawkeye is running from, and to me it looks like the Avengers base is demolished. I don't think Tony is going to go back to space with them. I didn't see him on the ship, and Black Widow has her short hair. Cap is in his Winter Soldier suit. My guess is they go up real fast, but not everyone. To me it looks like he comes for them. When Tony, Thor, and Cap are walking up to him, and he's sitting there with his sword, I think they're going to go up shorthanded because Banner, Clint, Tony are not going to be with them on the Benatar, or are not with them on the Benatar, or maybe shorthanded because the Hulk is still MIA. But we also can't trust the trailers. I just can't wait. Later, guys. And she also tweeted, they play the chain when they do the slow-mo walk to Ego's ship.
I'm with you, Ashley. I don't know. I don't know any of the answers, and I just can't wait. I just can't wait.
All right. OA4 said on Twitter, I love listening to MCU cast and hearing about how Matt gives a 10-year-old girl diabetes.
Yes.
Crying, laughing emoji.
That's so true. I did that. I didn't give her diabetes. I, to be honest, we actually didn't give her that much ice cream. The little girl, every time she would say, every time we would curse, because we were having an adult board game night. It was all adults. And then my friend had to bring her 10-year-old, and I said, you can bring her, but we're not going to, like, turn it into a 10-year-old party. We're going to drink, and we're going to talk, and we're going to, you know, we're not going to be crass, but we're going to curse here and there, no big deal. And she's like, oh, yeah, I don't mind that. I was like, okay, cool. And so every time we'd curse, the little girl would go, language, and we'd go, ice, and we'd just say ice cream, which meant she could have ice cream whenever we cursed. It was like our curse jar.
And, yeah, it was your swear jar.
Yeah, yeah. We actually didn't give her that much ice cream. We just would say ice cream at her, like, as if she was allowed to go get some, but I think she only got some, like, one time. But it was pretty funny. Like,
I don't want any more.
Yeah, I think she was done with ice cream. But it made her laugh when we just told her, ice cream.
Yeah,
just get the ice cream.
No, you have to force her to get the ice cream. Be like, no, you shouldn't have gotten so much the first time. You should have known this was going to happen.
You got to stop saying language. We're going to force feed you ice cream.
Right? Like, don't make me get the funnel.
Oh, gosh. That's too dark.
We were going to use that for beer, but I'll use it for ice cream.
Too dark.
I know. I'm a dark person today. I'm sorry. Another thing OA4 tweeted at us, Adam's UCast. I don't think there's anything that says Thanos grabbing the gauntlet takes place right after Ultron. It's happened before, like in Guardians 2, where they jump forward to Groot being a teenager in a post-credits.
Good point. That's what we were talking about that, and that is good evidence to the fact that, they've done it before, and they might do it again.
Yep. And for those not understanding, that discussion was Thanos grabbed the gauntlet at the in the post-credit scene in
Ultron.
Age of Ultron, and said, fine, I'll do it myself. And we were like, what the hell? Like, why is this happening like that? You know, why is there a several-year gap between him doing that and, like, you know, all the rest of the things?
We were mostly talking about the planet where they created the glove, and, like, why would he already have the glove that many years before? Yeah, Nitivalier. Okay, cool.
Yep. Lori London said to us on Twitter, at MCUcast, my thoughts on Shuri missing/dusted. I think it's a possibility she not only survived, but will also take up the mantle as Black Panther while T'Challa is out of commission, like she did in the Deadliest of the Species comic series. Wakanda still needs its protector.
Ooh, I love this idea. I love the idea that they're lying to us, because I always do. And I love that they're lying to us that she's, you know, her putting on the suit would be just so badass.
Yeah,
and I think it'll happen eventually, but I would love to see an Endgame,
especially after she does all of those things to increase the power of the suit and the versatility, and like just to make the suit better. Like, it's only right that she be the one to take it up.
Yeah, totally.
Nathaniel Muzzy said to us on Twitter, at MCUcast, can Disney Plus be right now instead of in the future?
Sure. You got it.
Yeah, I'm on it. Yoda Hughes said on Twitter, Adam Zucas, what if AOS is going to intro mutants into the MCU through the multiverse? This is just the conditioning before it's in the movies, right?
It works well for the Inhumans, you know? Sorry.
Man.
Yeah,
you got me good on that one.
It could happen, but I doubt it. I think that two things. I think that they like to give their directors the opportunity to intro the new characters and the new ideas. And they did try that with the Inhumans, and it worked very poorly. Them introducing the idea of the Inhumans worked well on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but then trying to transfer that into
the show
of the Inhumans,
it got a little bucked up.
Well. Yeah, so I think that sort of just didn't work the way they wanted it to. And I think they're going to show. I think the first time we will see X-Men will be in the movies, or at least have a hint of the X-Men. But mutants will be introduced eventually on the TV shows. But I don't know that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will be around long enough. I think they've announced two last seasons, so maybe the mutants will be around in time.
Maybe. Feige has said recently that they're not going to use the mutants for a long time.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I did not hear that.
Yep. I didn't add it into the news because I was real sad.
That is real sad, and it could be a lie. I don't trust him.
I don't trust none of it.
It's a weird case where I don't trust someone at all, but I love them so much.
right? Right? Like, I love you so much. Everything that you do is absolute gold, except the things that you tell me. I can't believe any of it.
Yeah, except, you know...
Like, until you show it on the screen, I cannot believe it.
I love all the things you do, especially when you lie to me.
He's gaslighting the shit out of you, Matt.
Oh, yeah.
JJ Carrido said to us on Twitter, @MCUcast, you guys, this is all caps, by the way, so, you guys, WandaVision show, Falcon and the Winter Soldier show, Loki show, Marvel What If show with Peggy Carter as Captain America, we have been blessed, I am so excited, #Disney+.
Yes.
I think I properly captured the excitement there. Yeah.
I think you were just being honest about your own excitement, and that went through.
I like that. I mean, and I was channeling myself.
Dig it.
Let's see. Matthew Jones @FattyMatty. I love that tag. Oh, man. Adam Sucast, just found your pod. Thanks. Do you guys play Marvel Future Fight? Madden-like game where you recruit and build characters. Not all PvP. Tons of fun.
I tried Marvel Future Fight. I also, for a long time, played Contest of Champions and another game like that. But I had to give them all up because I have no self-control and will spend money.
I learned microtransactions are Matt's bane.
Oh, gosh. Microtransactions hurt me. And I was actually looking at my credit card statements from last year this week because I was doing my taxes. And I was just like seeing if there were any like things I needed to charge to my business or whatever. And I was like, is there anything I'm missing in the receipts for that I need to track down? So I went through all of my transactions and I found all of the ones to supersell. And it really hurt me how much they all added up to. Because it seems so small when you're like, well,
it's just a dollar.
$4.99. And it's not like I'm doing it all the time, just once in a while. And I'll go ahead and spend. But then I think about, like, oh, I spent more on this stupid pocket game than I spent on, like, my, you know, whatever, the Spider-Man game that gave me so much more joy for PS4. You know, like.
Yep.
It's so fast. It happens so fast before you know it.
All a blur. I don't know what happened.
I've just learned I just can't do it. I just got to stay away from all those games.
Why am I living on the street now?
I wish they made phone games that instead of microtransactions, instead of like play a lot to win, they were just good games. And I know they probably do, and I've tried to look for them, but every time I try to look for all the most popular games, and it's because the ones that make the most money are the ones they can devote resources to. But I've played a few games over the years that I actually really enjoyed on my phone, but they're rare. Most games are just like dopamine, like pellet response things where I'm tapping and getting dopamine for it and spending $5 and getting, oh, look how shiny that crystal is. Ugh. I had to give it up, man. I also gave it up because phone games take a lot of my time, and so I just stopped doing that. And every time I want to do something on a phone game, every time I start to take my phone out to play a phone game, which I still do because I still am conditioned to do it, I just redirect that to do something on social media to try to spread my post on social media more, because social media social media has the same problem. The dopamine stuff or whatever, but at least I'm trying to build up the social media of my music.
Yeah, you're building your brand when you do that.
Yeah. By the way, guys, if you're listening to this right now, I need you to listen to me. Listen to me closely. Read my lips.
I'm trying.
Matthew Carroll, Spotify, Apple, Google. You've got those apps on your phone right now. Go to Spotify, go to Apple, go to Google, search for Matthew Carroll. And save it. Matthew, not Matt. Matthew Carroll. And go right over there. Follow me. Listen to my album. I'm super proud of it. It's called Left to Burn. Really, really proud. Full band. Badass album. Listen to that shit. I've had this album out for over a year now. And
is it?
It came out February of last year. So 14 months. About the same amount of time I've been losing weight. And those are not unconnected. I love the album so much, and I really wanted to play the album live, and then I found myself not having the energy to do the kinds of stage antics I wanted to do. So I like I finally got my crap under control, and I've lost 160 pounds.
Nice. Congrats, sir.
163 as of today. But
you found that you have some calories left to burn?
That's what the title means. That's what left to burn. No. That's good. That's real good. Good joke. But no, anyway, so I've spent the last year just basically begging people to listen to the album, playing shows and just being like, listen to the album. But it's so hard to get people to listen to new music. It's so hard. So if you're listening to this, thousands of people download this every week. Open up whatever music app you use. Search for Matthew Carroll, Left to Burn. Check it out. If you like it, tell your friends, because I don't know how to get people to listen to new music. Some of you already have, and you've all been very kind and told me that. And multiple of you have come to my shows now because of hearing the music, or, you know, the podcast. And that's freaking awesome. You guys are freaking awesome.
Yeah, do more of that, because the stories about how Matt meets people from the cast at his shows and how awkward it is for him and how he doesn't know how to respond to it are some of my favorite stories.
I am kind of bad at meeting people in real life, especially people that consume my content, like the podcasts or the music. When they're like really like into the music, I'm really, really, I just don't know how to, I haven't developed the muscles. Not enough people have liked my music. No, that's funny. I'm just being silly. It's kind of true though. Not enough people have been fans of my music or my podcasts, like in real life, for me to know how to look at them in the eye and speak to them. Like, I just can't do it. I get weirdly like ashamed.
You're like, how do you know so much about me?
Right. Like, oh, you're a person that listens to me talk for an hour every week. And I feel like weirdly ashamed of myself. Like, it's weird. It's a weird response. I just can't make eye contact with them. I keep looking down. It's a bad scene. It's a bad scene. So come to one of my shows and make me feel uncomfortable.
I've had to forcibly, like, you know, wrench myself into saying, because like somebody at work, Carolyn Ali, listens to our podcast, and you know, occasionally will tell other people that come around at work about it, and I've had to forcibly be like, yeah, it's the best thing ever. Why haven't you been listening to it? And you know, it seems kind of like, it seems really, really arrogant of me to do that, but like, I try to play it off as a joke, but that's the only way that I can cope with, like, this is a person that I know that listens to me speak for like hours at a time.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've got good friends who listen to the podcast, and you know, I've got a lot of good friends who listen to the music too. And I don't know, somehow when I know them, I don't know, I guess I'm better at it with the music than I am the podcast, maybe. Because I'm just like, oh,
it's the podcast.
It really means a lot. I don't know. Just, it's really meaningful to me because I'm real proud of the music. Anyway, let's get back to this feedback so we can get through a few more before we have to shut her down. But Matthew Carroll, check out the album. Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, whatever your music service.
Yeah. Left to Burn.
That's
go.
That's my mid-roll ad for today.
Okay. All right. So we got an email from another Matt. Instagram.com/the_MCU_shelf apparently is the tagline there. It says, hey guys, hello.
Hey, hey.
I love listening to the show, so to me it seems like the logical choice for who will rescue Tony should be Thor. If he can now summon the Bifrost like he did to get to Wakanda, then he needs to be able to see where he's going, similar to Heimdall. So what we didn't see in Infinity War must have been him looking toward Earth to see if Thanos had arrived, and seeing the battle at Wakanda and summoning the Bifrost to go and lay the smack down. It doesn't seem like Endgame is going in this direction now, but I'd like to see them discuss Tony's abduction and Thor look to the stars and say, I see him, but he's weak, or something like that. And then, boom, he summons the Bifrost and goes and collects Tony and Nebula, easy peasy. Somehow he knew they were in Wakanda. I guess you could argue he just went to Earth, saw the news, and went to Wakanda. But that isn't cool enough. Crying laughing emoji. Anyways, here's a look at my MCU action figure display. Hopefully you will deem me worthy of true MCU nerddom with my fellow true believers. You can see more on my Instagram account if you're into that stuff, @the_MCU_shelf. Thanks for the great show and for listening to my theory. Sorry for the length. Emoji.
Yeah, man. I am jealous of your wares, of your MCU shelf. It's
like
really
he's peddling.
Cool. He has a lot of, yeah, he's not peddling. He's just showing off. But yeah, at the underscore the underscore MCU underscore shelf. He has some really cool, just like poses and stuff. I'm jealous. I don't have the space for anything like that. I've music gear everywhere. I've got like one small shelf of Funko Pops, and that's about it.
Yeah, very I get cool them. I get them at my desk at work, and you know I've only got so much space that I can keep them in. It's just you know some like eight or so Funko Pops, and I'm like these got to stay in the boxes because I don't have space for it at all.
Mm-hmm. Man, really cool stuff. Really cool stuff, Matt. Yeah. So I'm just looking over his Instagram now. I don't know how the Bifrost and Thor and if he has to. Like, how much he has to see, and maybe that's the thing. Maybe if he just has to see where he's going, maybe, like, they'll communicate somehow from the Benatar and, like, let them know what's going on, or, like, send a video feed from Nebula's eyes.
Or from the helmet.
Yeah, or from the helmet. Yeah, like, send a video feed, and then he sees where they are, and they can go there. I don't know exactly how the Bifrost or... that works. Have we ever seen them go take the Bifrost anywhere that was not a planet?
No. I mean, the Bifrost... we never saw the Bifrost get summoned by anything other than that one point at Asgard.
And except for at the end of Endgame.
Right, except, well, at the beginning of Endgame, too, because it was
right,
Heimdall.
That's true.
Heimdall
that's
summoned true. The Bifrost to send Hulk away. And, you know, he did that through his own power, or, like, you know, he called out to Allfather, like, please give me, you know, what dark energy you can to summon the Bifrost, and then sent the Hulk away. But we haven't really seen it used as, like, just a ship, almost, kind of like a... like a travel pattern or whatever. Like, it seems like it has to have a destination and can't just be like turned at any given time.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we just don't know. Is the truth of we don't know exactly how that works yet. So we'll see. And I don't know how it works in comics, but maybe it works a little differently here. We just don't know yet.
Yep.
But I do think it's definitely a possibility that Thor will use the Bifrost to get Tony back.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why we didn't think about that before, because, like, it's the obvious choice.
Yeah, he does have the ability to travel all over the universe. So, well, I mean, it's obvious that there's going to be some problem with it happening, because they're going to spend some time in space, days in space, so...
Yeah. What do you think about Thor using the Bifrost to get everybody to Thanos? Because, like, in that clip that we saw,
I think that's,
you know, they were
likely
saying, let's go get this son of a bitch. I think it's probably Thor going to summon the Bifrost and take them to Thanos.
Yeah, and we see that as another planet. It looks like he's off on some planet. They're looking at a readout of where they need to go. Like, I think no matter what the rules of the Bifrost are, it seems like that would work. Whatever they're trying to do there will work.
Yeah, yep. And, you know, then that gives them kind of an easy out, I guess, when they get defeated by Thanos to have Thor just Bifrost them out.
Yeah, they definitely have a little more mobility around the universe with Thor's new weapon.
Yep, with the axe. He needs the axe! Dustin Kaufman, still a great name, sent us an email. Hey guys, just sending in my favorite music drop in the MCU so far, because nobody mentioned my favorite. It was probably when the Avengers theme started playing as Cap and Widow showed up to save Scarlet Witch and Vision at the train station in Infinity War. While it's technically not a song, it still was awesome and gave me chills when I watched it in theaters. Also, the chain by Fleetwood Mac in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was pretty epic. Anyways, thanks for the great podcast.
I like that music drop a lot, because even though it isn't a song, a pop song, it is now so recognizable because of these movies and because of our love of them, that it is a really great needle drop, you know? So it definitely fits what we're looking for good needle drops.
Yep. I love a good use of, or a good reuse of score to just, to, you know, turn the... turned the feeling, turned the mood of the scene. And when that music dropped, it was just like, oh yeah, shit's turning around now.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. Mark Stanek sent us an email. Hey guys, just found you guys after getting into podcasts more. To touch on your music topic, for me, I have to say, when Iron Man shows up in the first Avengers movie to help Cap fight Loki, with AC/DC Shoot the Thrill taking over the Quinjet speaker system, is top of the list for me. Also, not sure if you mentioned or talked about it. If they do cast the Fantastic Four actors, I think John Krasinski and Emily Blunt would be perfect for Mr. Fantastic and Invisible Woman. Keep up the great work. Looking forward to hearing more from you guys.
Yeah, I love that. John Krasinski and Emily Blunt, I think that would be awesome.
I think that could work. I like John Hamm for probably Dr. Doom, to be honest.
Yeah, I love that him for Dr. Doom. Yeah, it's good. I like I could also kind of see John Hamm as the Thing.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't know.
I don't know. The Thing has always been more of a, you know, gruff New Yorker for me, and John Hamm's always seemed more prim and proper.
Yeah.
And
I think that's true to some degree, but I think he has some range that he's not shown. More recently he did it with like Tag. He was really funny in that, and a lot more like, you know, wild and get out there and do things instead of, as prim and proper as he was in Mad Men. But he is still pretty well put together in that movie, so that's fair. But mostly, the Thing is going to be mostly a voice. And I was just thinking that he could work for that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that his voice would go quite swell into the Dr. Doom armor. Like, not to say that I didn't like Julian McMahon, but I think that John Hamm would probably be fantastic as well.
Yeah.
Not to say fantastic like Fantastic Four, because that's the obvious pun. I accidentally did that. I'm sorry. All right, so Haley Powers sent us an email. Hey, guys, just discovered your podcast this week and love divulging in all the theories and general MCU talk. Two pretty random thoughts that don't go together, but who else can I ask? You know, we are all about random thoughts.
That is true.
Number one, Hela and the hammer. The whole thing with Thor's hammer is you must be, quote unquote, worthy to lift it. But obviously we see Hela catch and break Mjolnir in Ragnarok. Plus the old mural in the palace shows her wielding it next to Odin. Is it less about being worthy and more about your general godlike strength? Not to mention Steve being able to budget in Age of Ultron, which totally freaks Thor out. Maybe being quote-unquote worthy was BS fed to Thor to make him sit up straighter as a younger prince. Not a comics reader, so don't know any of the canon with it.
Well, I can answer this one, I think. I don't think that spell was on the hammer until the first Thor movie.
Yeah, I mean, Odin spoke to the hammer, casting a spell on it, casting that enchantment.
Yeah.
Whosoever holds this hammer, if he be worthy, shall possess the power of Thor.
Yeah, so I think that if Hela used the hammer in the past, that is because it did not have that spell on it just yet.
And as far as her catching and breaking it now, godlike strength?
Yeah, well, I was just say she didn't wield it, she broke it, which it's a distinction. It's a small distinction, but it's a distinction. Like, she's fighting against the hammer instead of like actually trying to work with the hammer, as it were.
Yeah, it's not like she caught it and then
spun
went
it around
to use it. Yeah,
it.
Spun it around, use it, broke it on him or something like that.
That's probably why she breaks it, is because it's she doesn't have the ability to use it anymore because she's not worthy. So when she touches it, she just shatters it.
Yeah, maybe.
When two things collide, if one of them break, the stronger one is going to be the one that breaks the other one. And she just, in that case, was just stronger than Mjolnir.
Yeah, yeah. That could be said. In Norse mythology, Thor actually had to have, I think it was either a belt or bracers of strength to be able to lift Mjolnir. It was more just about his godlike strength at that point.
Right.
Let's see. So Haley continues, Number two, where's Adam? Any thoughts about if Adam Warlock is going to show up in Endgame as a surprise? We know he was being created in Guardians 2, but mum's been the word since then. Love the cast. Keep it up.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. I think they're going to wait till Guardians 3, mostly because I think they have too many characters to deal with at this point. There's just too much going on.
Yeah, it's not his story, you know? It's not a Guardian story. It's the OG 6.
Right. I'm with you. All right, guys. Well, we are hitting up on about two and a half hours of recording time here, and we are going to have to shut her down just so I can get these edited and posted. We did miss out on a couple of the longer feedbacks. We might have time to bring them in next week, get all these theories out before the actual Endgame drops. We got probably one more big sort of theory feedback episode before Endgame. So send in your stuff to get them in quick. Keep them kind of brief, and that would be awesome. We are the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. Hit us up at mcucast.com, at mcucast on Twitter, facebook.com/mcucast, mcucast@gmail.com, or call us at 573-CAST-MCU. If you want to support the cast, go to patreon.com/mcucast. We would love to hear from you there. We love you all.
Until next time, true believers.